Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. During the epistle reading, you heard St. Paul say that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. Well, what if I told you that this morning you woke up on a battlefield in the middle of an all-out war? No need to be alarmed, though. The war has been won. The enemy just doesn't know it yet. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed in Christ. Sure, it's disorienting to wake up in the midst of armed combat. But there's no need to fear. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. In the light of day, we can see the enemy. We can discern his movements. We can identify his tactics. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. The hour has come for you to wake from sleep. It's time to join the fight. So who are the combatants in this battle I speak of? Well, there's Christianity on the one side, and American commercialism on the other. That's not the war, mind you, that's the battle. The battlefield we're currently on as of this morning when you woke up is called the season of Advent. This battle has been going on for quite some time. I can't tell you exactly when the first shot was fired, but I can say that in the Western Church, Advent is a time of joyful anticipation and repentant preparation for the coming of Christ. It's been its own season on the Christian calendar since long before America was born. Since before 567 AD, the 6th century was when the season of Advent became common throughout Western Christendom. A season, a time to aid us Christians in keeping our focus on the King, the Christ. It became a time to consider the advent of our Lord and Savior. Advent comes from the Latin adventus, which means coming into, the coming. We heard the Advent language in all three of our readings this morning. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king. Jeremiah 23:5. The hour has come, Paul said to the Romans in our epistle. The hour has come. Advented, they would say in Latin. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Matthew 21:9. Advent language. Jesus Christ came as a baby born in Bethlehem, who grew up and became a man who entered triumphantly into Jerusalem as David's righteous branch, and then died in humility upon the Roman cross in order to rise victoriously from the grave as the first fruits of all of us who believe in him, as we too will be resurrected from our graves just like he was. Because of his first coming, Christmas, today your God comes to you. in the reading and the preaching of his word and in the administration and distribution of his sacrament, which are offered as the means, the very vehicle by which he sustains us in his grace. Until finally, when the time is right, according to God's good and gracious plan, Christ will come again to usher in the kingdom that will not end, for which we so anxiously await. All that said, despite its 1,452-year history, Advent seems to not stand a chance against American commercialism. America does some things pretty well, don't we? Everything we do well, I'd like to say. Even kill Advent. 63 years ago, in 1956, in what we think of as a much simpler time, a time still mostly rooted in our Christian heritage, Edward T. Horn wrote, "In recent times in America, the proper observance of Advent has suffered greatly from the commercialization of Christmas." Already in 1956, he said that. To stimulate sales of Christmas gifts, stores and communities often use Christmas decorations as early as November 1st. Christmas Kara, who's laughing? The bookstore owner. We see the realities that we're up against, right? That we live in. Christmas carols, he said, and music are heard so continuously that Advent is all but completely blanketed, and Christmas is spoiled long before it ever arrives. Even the church, and this is where we really want to focus, bookstore owners have to do what bookstore owners have to do to make some money and survive and put bread on the table. In the church, we can do things a little differently. Even the church, he says, has been guilty of abetting the secular attitude. Choirs often present their programs of Christmas music before Christmas and during the Advent season. In the face of such heavy opposition, it's difficult to combat the popular feeling that Christmas is over on Christmas Day. Reverend Horn goes on to say, "Actually, for the church, down through the centuries, Christmas begins on Christmas Eve and continues everywhere until Epiphany. The exchange of gifts," he says, "on Christmas is not universal, and some countries have not suffered from commercialism as much as America has." And then finally, and here it is, finally, as if he was shouting a battle cry, Reverend Horn says, "Whatever can be done to preserve the integrity and the spirit of Advent should be done." But for you and me, the question is why? What's it matter? Who cares about Advent? The answer, it matters because Christ matters. It's important because God's love for you, God's love for you, is of the most utmost, extreme, ultimate, pinnacle importance. It's everything to God. His love for you and you knowing it is why it matters. Because Christ himself is at stake. Salvation by grace through faith in Christ is at stake on this battlefield. You see, we have a blind spot in America. We're a country coded in commercialism. And commercialism, well, it's not interested in your well-being. It's interested in your wealth. Amen, George. That's the post-war, post-Christ crucified for the justification of your sins battle that I'm talking about. The spiritual conflict that contends for your inner being, for the peace that you have in Christ. and therefore is centered on Christ and how he comes, advents into your presence, is the battle. But it's post-war. The war's already won. Your souls are already locked in. You are a believer. Christ's cross stands fixed as the true banner that will not be toppled. But do we behave that way? He came for you. He comes to you. And he will come again for you on the last day. Sure, sure, Pastor. But what I don't get, Pastor, what's the problem with celebrating Christmas a little early? I mean, isn't it okay to be focused on Christmas even as early as Thanksgiving, Halloween? Let's just do it all year. Christmas is great. They do it that way in Frankenmuth, Michigan, by the way. There's a Christmas store there all year long. I think it's in other places too. But really, Pastor, seriously, isn't more of Christ's first coming better? What's wrong with that? And that's an honest question. The answer is in how we look at the way we celebrate Christmas. From Halloween, that's when we first see the stuff go up in the stores, right? Until December 25th. How much Jesus are we getting in that nearly 2 months of Christmas? The question is, are we getting more of Christ born to die for you? Or less? And I would say less. And I would say if we're honest with ourselves, we'd all recognize less. The commercialization of Christmas pushes our Savior as our King out of our view. It becomes off to the side. Because it's a time controlled by secular marketing strategies and advertising campaigns. Our hearts are led on by sentimentality as our memories are easily manipulated by those who make their living off of pushing materialism. And they do it at this time of year on the back of our Lord, exploiting the heritage of those who look to the lowly incarnation of our God, to our Savior, who humbled himself to win us back from our sin, back from our noisy and disorderly clamoring, our celebrating. Side note, the word orgy in our Romans reading, the word orgy makes us think of a certain type of thing. It's really weird because the word orgy actually means riotous celebration. That's what it means. It's a public revelry. If you want to know what orgy means in the biblical perspective, it's when your home team wins the World Series and you go to the street in celebration and you start turning over cars and burning down buildings. In your own hometown, that's an orgy in the biblical perspective, in the biblical word. It's riotous, disorderly celebration, clamoring. And they would do this, the soldiers would do this when they came back from their victory. The celebration should have happened on the battlefield, but none of their own people were on the battlefield. So when they got back from the war, they celebrated in their own town and they destroyed it all the time. It's crazy. So that noisy, disorderly celebrating is what our Savior has won us back from. Christ came to save you from your aimless revelry, from your drunkenness, too much eggnog, from sexual immorality and sensuality, from your quarreling and your jealousy. But does any of our modern American Christmas festivity focus our attention on the gift of grace that we've been saved from that, from our sin, in whatever way it takes shape? Does any of our modern American celebration of Christmas focus our attention on Christ crucified for the forgiveness of our sins that we receive in baptism and in the given and shed blood and body of our Lord, who went from crib to cross. Does any of our overabundance of Christmas direct us to contemplate how hopeless life would be without Christ? And then, does any of it build us up in spirit out of that hopelessness and anchor us in the peace that was given all mankind in the birth of Christ and in the joyful anticipation of his second coming? Look at what's presented as Christmas on the shelves in the Walmarts and the Targets. Stop and think about the content of our 2 months of Christmas commercials and our Honda holidays on the TV and all of these different things. Where is Jesus? For the love of humanity, quite literally, where is Jesus? Where's his church and the means by which he distributes God's grace to us, that he established when he walked this earth to deliver to you, a sinner without hope, the news, the good news that you have been reconciled to your Father, that he loves you, that you've been restored to paradise, to a reunion with God, but also a reunion with life unending, immortality. Where's that message in Christmas celebration? Where's our joyful anticipation for the one who came, who comes, and who will come again? Why is it not front and center if we want more Christmas? When we hear the jingles and we see the decorations, why is Jesus an obligatory afterthought, a period at the end of the sentence on December 25th as we start to put it all in the attic, when we just should barely be starting to celebrate it? Christmas is here. Put it all away. We get less Christmas the world's way. We get more Christmas Christ's way. That's what Advent is all about. And sadly, it is gone in the world. It's sucked away from this time, and it's replaced with the desire for gifts and the desire for good times and delight with family and friends. And those things are fun. We don't want to dismiss that. But those things do lack eternal benefit. They do not take care of your soul. That's the battlefield you woke up on this morning. Advent is all but destroyed everywhere else but in the church. We should protect this time of considering just how precious you are to your God. Advent is a time of peace, where your hearts are filled with a joy that comes from knowing that in the birth of Jesus, you receive the only gift that matters. And here at St. Mark's, we are going to guard against the world. And you see, we've already kind of begun to do that. This year, we're not going to turn on the Christmas lights until Christmas Eve, as a way of kind of gently pushing back the pressures of the world. And as you come, you'll see more and more decorations as we get closer and closer to the big day. And it'll help guide us in our anticipation for the Lord's coming, for Christmas, and our focus on his final coming at the end of time. Because we consume, and we consume quote-unquote Christmas in the world until we're blackout drunk. We're not thinking straight, and we're unable to remember, unable to focus on Jesus. We become a danger to ourselves and therefore a danger to our neighbor, as we even forget to wish them a true Mary Christ Mass. That's the divine service. Too much jubilation. We're desperate to sleep off a long holiday bender when we go by the way of the world. But a bit of sobriety, a little bit of distance, delay, excited delay, helps us focus, helps us remember the point that Jesus loves you, that your God came into this world in order to suffer, be despised, and die, so that he could then come to you in your hearts, through your ears and through your mouths, in his word and his sacrament, preached and administered, so that when he comes again, you will truly be ready and not shut out, like we heard last week with the 10 virgins, but received into the marriage feast to receive the spoils of his war that's already been won. The spoils are your life. Your liberation from sin, your liberation from death, and your liberation from the dank breath of the devil's lies. Who, by the way, I suspect is the biggest proponent of commercialization of Christmas and the biggest proponent of the total annihilation of Advent. The hour has come for you to wake from sleep. You, dear baptized believers in Christ Jesus, you now see the battle for what it is. We cannot fully escape it this year. And if our Lord delays another, I don't suspect we'll escape it next year either. But the army's growing. We have won the war. We need only hold the battlefield. Hold the faith that we have been handed down. And to surrender to no one but God himself. There's no need to be alarmed. You know that salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed in Christ. It may be disorienting to wake up, to realize the ramification of what's going on around us in this spiritual combat. But there is no need to fear. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. And in the light of day, we can see the enemy. Guess who else we can see? We can see our ally, Christ Jesus, clearly on the cross for you. The one who came, who comes, and who will come again. Behold, your king is coming. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.